Well, turn back with me, please, in your Bibles to that passage in Romans chapter 6. I wonder, as you do that, if you've ever stopped to think about the real scandal of grace. Have you ever thought, how is it that a really evil person can be forgiven? Forgiven for all that they've done. Comrade Dolch was part of the Khmer Rouge regime. He was Pol Pot's chief executioner. If you ever go to Cambodia, you can visit a school which was his prison that's now become a museum. And if you did, you would be rendered absolutely speechless with rage and grief at the number of people that were tortured and killed in that school. Yet 2 decades later, Comrade Dolch was baptized as a Christian believer and is forgiven by God. Isn't that a bit of a scandal? Isn't it amazing to think that that man is my brother and your brother in Christ? It makes you start to think, well, if a person can get away with doing that and still be a Christian, well, won't people think I can get away with anything and be a Christian? I mean, it just opens up all kinds of possibilities. Why do I need to continue to follow God? Why would I not just simply carry on sinning? Over the last couple of weeks, we've had the great privilege of going through this book of Romans. And in this part that we're in, Paul wants to remind you of what it is to be a Christian. He says, do you know what it means? Let me just remind you. Let me remind you of the hope and the assurance that you have as a Christian because of this wonderful grace that is seen in Jesus Christ. You've got a new status, he says, as a Christian. You're no longer in Adam, you're in Christ. And the way that you came to be in Christ, the way that you became a Christian, was by God's grace. We had a good mnemonic, a way of remembering what grace really meant. It said, God's riches at Christ's expense. You are utterly loved by God. And God's gift of grace is so very different from the way that sin came into this world. Sin came into this world through one man, and he does one thing wrong, and he spoils everything. But God's grace comes through one man, through Jesus Christ, after many sins, and he restores. He makes you right with God. But the scandal or the thing that's most scary about grace is that as your sin increases, God's grace matches your sin. It forgives no matter how far you go. Spencer, a couple of weeks ago, used a good way of saying this. He said, God's grace matches you blow by blow. Matches your sin. God's grace is a bit like the Atlantic Ocean. It's so vast, it's so wide, it's so deep that it can swallow up the biggest oil slick that the world has ever seen. God's grace, you see, is as mighty as God's power. And you're supposed to say, wow, praise God. Isn't that amazing? But as you do, there's a bit of an objection that starts coming in your mind, or certainly in some people's minds. If God's grace matches my sin blow by blow, then won't it just encourage people to think, well, I can just sin and get away with it then? Surely. And that's actually what's asked in this question in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Surely there's a better way, Paul. Surely we must have a set of rules, mustn't we, to keep God's standard. We must know what God wants and what he doesn't want us to live by. Otherwise, I'll just keep on sinning willy-nilly and just say, well, I'm under grace. Here's the big question. If you don't just give me a set of rules to live by, won't I just keep on sinning? That's the question we've got to deal with. And Paul's answer is this. No. Absolutely not. No way. And we began to see this a fortnight ago when Reuben told us that we have a new life and a new Lord if we are Christians. But today he says, no, I want to tell you why for another reason. I want you to know you won't keep on sinning if you are in Christ, because your actions have consequences. Your actions have consequences. Look how he puts it in verse 16. He says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. No, your actions do matter. They have great consequences. You know, as Christians, he's about to tell us, we are freed from sin, but we are not freed to sin. And he tackles this from a different angle. He says, just imagine that you're going to be a slave. Now, for us, that might seem a little bit odd. But at the time when Paul was speaking, you see, being a slave or putting yourself into slavery, selling yourself into slavery, was quite an ordinary thing to do. If you had debts that you just couldn't pay, there was no kind of bankruptcy in those days. What you would do is you would offer yourself to the person who you owed your debts as a slave. So Paul uses, as it were, this common situation and says, imagine that you offered yourself as a slave. You would have to obey your master from then on. You couldn't halfway through kind of say, gosh, well, I don't like this life anymore. You know, I'm not going to be your slave. No, you'd given up your rights. You were a slave to your master. And Paul says that's what it is with us. If you present yourself to something as a slave, you will become the slave of the thing, whether that's sin or whether that's righteousness. And then he says something pretty frightening. He says, the point is, we are all slaves to one of two things, one of two masters, either slaves to sin or slaves to faith or obedience of faith. We have to serve one of those masters. And there's a bit of an objection that comes. People go, well, no, that's not the way that I see it, you know. Actually, I don't want to be a slave to anyone. Why can't I just choose myself? I choose to follow me. I don't want to follow either of those two paths. And that's a very natural reaction for us to take. But there's a problem with that. And the problem is that when I choose to serve myself and rather than to serve anyone else, I sin. Because you see, sin isn't just doing things wrong. Sin is rejecting God's rule over my life. Sin is not loving God with all my heart and soul and mind. And because I sin, I've become a slave to sin. See, you just can't get out from sin. We can't set ourselves free. Sin's a bit like a piece of flypaper. We don't tend to see flypaper very much these days. Flypaper, for those of you who are younger who might not know what it is a piece of paper that's usually blue or very luminous, and it's got a nice sticky gel on the top. And it looks bright, and you put it down, and it's a perfect way to catch flies. Because the fly goes around and it says, oh, look, that looks very interesting. And it lands on the fly paper and it goes, ah, this is my paper. And the paper goes, ah, this is my fly. And sin's just like that. It grabs hold of us and it won't let go. And the scary thing is, the more you submit to it, the more we present ourselves to sin, the more it becomes our master. And Paul says, you know where sin will take you. It will take you to death. Why won't I just carry on in sin if I'm a Christian? Because carrying on in sin will enslave me back to sin, and that leads to death. No, my actions have great consequences. But I want you to know that the opposite is also true. The more you submit to obedience of grace in Jesus, the more grace becomes your master. But I wonder if you've seen that there's a problem with that too. There is a problem. I can't choose grace because I'm in the grip of sin. I need a miracle. I need God to rescue me from the grip that sin has on me, just so that I can choose to follow grace, so that I can choose to follow him. And in his most wonderful mercy, that's exactly what God does. Christ frees us from sin so that we can follow him. Look how he says it in verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You see, when you believed and you trusted in Jesus, when you believed what he did for you, you weren't just given a new status. You were, as it were, released from the power of sin. And he says, you know what? The evidence of that is in your life. Paul says, look at how you are now. Though you used to be slaves to sin, though you used to obey sin in absolutely everything, now you obey from your heart this teaching of grace. You obey God. You trust what Jesus has done for you rather than what you can do for yourself by keeping his own laws. Jesus, you see, has put me right with God. He puts you right with God. Not by you keeping his law, but as a gift. If you know, the point about verse 16 is, you can tell that your life, who runs your life, by your actions. So if you obey sin, then you can tell who's the master of your life. But look, he says, look at your life. You used to obey sin, but now you actually obey from your heart this word of grace. The problem I've got with that is I don't obey God's word perfectly. And actually I do sin. And God says, yes. But God didn't wait for us to obey him perfectly before he put us right with him. God didn't wait for me to be perfect before he put me in Christ. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8 it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And since we now have been justified, that word, just as if I had never sinned. Since now we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And yes, we do still sin against God. And as Christians, we are going to struggle with sin all of our lives. And we'll see this ever so more clearly in chapter 7. But the thing is, sin is not your master. You're not in bondage to sin anymore. It doesn't have to dominate you anymore. You have the power to change. You have been given life in God, and you have been given His Spirit, and given the power to do what's right, to live rightly for God. And the way you see, the way you change, the way you sin less and become more like Jesus, isn't actually by trying harder. It's by dwelling on and trusting and believing what's already been done for you. By dwelling and believing that you have been freed from sin's power, that you are forgiven, that you are justified in Jesus as a gift. And as you do that, you see, you want to serve this God. You want to follow Him because all of your sin has been paid. You are moved, says Paul, set free from the power of sin and become a slave of righteousness, of doing what's right. And he says, it's a little bit like changing sides. Reuben used a great picture, which I think is so fantastic, I'm going to borrow it. And he said, think about Wayne Rooney, and how Wayne Rooney used to be playing for Everton. And now Wayne Rooney plays for Manchester United. It would be really odd if when playing for Manchester United, he then donned on the blue strip of Everton and started playing against Manchester United. It would be odd and just completely out of kilter because you've changed sides. And the same is true of us. We've changed sides. We have a new goal, as it was, and our goal is not to obey sin. Our goal is to live for God and obey righteousness. So since we have this new goal, since we have this new Lord, what are we supposed to do? Well, it's fairly obvious, isn't it? We're supposed to live for this God. And the way you do that is to offer yourself to Christ afresh. Offer yourself to Christ afresh is what the Bible says. Look at verse 19. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Since you are in Christ, Christian, continue in Christ the same way you started. There are only two ways to live. Either you surrender to sin, which leads to a vicious spiral of ever-increasing sin, or you surrender to grace, which leads to holiness, which leads to becoming more and more like Jesus. Offer yourselves to God. Submit to Him. Present your whole life to Him. Proffer to God your job. Lord, I am your servant. I have been saved by your grace. I want to offer to you the work that I do. I want to offer to you how I treat my colleagues at work. I want to be the kind of person who serves you in my work. Offer to God your relationships with your spouse, your relationships with your brothers and sisters. Lord, I want to serve you and I want to do what's right because you have rescued me. And I want to give to you my relationship. Offer to God your spending of your money. Offer to God your free time. Keep presenting your whole life to God and you will become more and more and more like Jesus. And if you're not a Christian today, then what are you supposed to do? Well, actually, pretty much the same thing. You're supposed to offer yourself to God. You're supposed to see that you are under the slavery of sin. And I say this with the most utmost of respect. You cannot stop sinning. Because just as we've seen that sin is not just about doing things that are wrong, it's about living for yourself instead of living for God, You can't do that even if you tried. And that way, I'm afraid, leads to death. But your state is you are in exactly the same state as every Christian was. You need God to do a miracle, to bring you from death to life, from trusting in your own deeds to trusting in what he has done for you. And God, in his most wonderful, fantastic mercy, has done just that by sending Jesus down from heaven to pay for your sin on the cross and to free you from the slavery of sin and give you life, eternal life, life that death will never take away. And this Jesus, who rose from the dead 3 days later after being crucified, shows you that he was no ordinary man, shows you that he was God in flesh, and he offers to you life. He offers to you the right to be right before God today, to stand before God just as if you had never sinned. And it's a free gift if you would trust him. Offer yourselves to God should be the response, whether you're a Christian or not. And when you do, look what you get. Look what you get. Verse 20 to 22 says this: when we were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap from those things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Just contrast the effect, says Paul, between your life when you were a slave to sin and your life when you are a slave to God. When you were a slave to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness, the obligation that was to do what was right. And you know, that's one of the devil's greatest lies. He says to us, if you become a Christian, you won't have a real life. You won't have real life. It will be boring, and it will be marked out by the things you can't do. You won't be able to do this thing, or you won't be able to do that thing. You will miss out. Live for yourself. Then you'll be free. Free from the shackles of an overbearing God who only seems to want to restrict your freedom. And Paul says, yes, you will be free. You will. You'll be free from only one thing, from doing what's right before God. In everything else, you will be a slave. And he says to Christians, look back at your life. Look back at your life at the time when you weren't a Christian. Aren't you ashamed of all the things that you did? See, when you're faced with God, two things come straight to mind: guilt and shame. And he says, look where your life is heading. It was heading for death. But contrast that life now with the life that you have in Christ. Now you've been set free from the power of sin. Now your life shows fruits of sanctification, shows fruit of holiness, fruit of becoming more like Jesus. And look where you're heading. You're heading for eternal life with heaven, with this God. Could you have a more starker contrast? So if you're a Christian, he says, continue as you've started. Continue in this grace. Not try harder. Please don't mishear me. This passage is not telling us we must try harder. It's telling us that we are to believe what God has already done for us, and so to offer ourselves more to him. Because, friends, there are only two options in this life. There are only two ways to live, and there are only two outcomes, says Paul. In verse 23, he says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, this master slave, this slave master sin actually pays wages, he says. In fact, he never fails to pay out what his slaves are entitled to, and that's death. But the free gift of God, what you are not entitled to, is what you get in Jesus Christ, eternal life. So the only real question left for us is, which master will you serve? Which master will you serve? And I pray you choose the right master.